Once again, let me remind you of the focus that I've been on for the whole year is what it means to follow Jesus. And one of the great meanings of following Jesus is going to be that you are going to take the criticism that Jesus received also. As a Christian, if you are not being criticized, pay attention to how you're walking. If someone is not letting you know or calling you names because of your faith, then start checking out and seeing what you're doing wrong. Because we're living in a generation to where that which is good is portrayed as evil, and that which is evil is portrayed as good. And the Lord told us that this day was coming. This day has been from generation to generation. What's the difference? This is our generation. You and I have never went through this world before. And no, we did not come back as a cow or a rat or anything else. We haven't been here before. The mission that God has for you and me was a personal mission for us at birth and will continue being a personal mission throughout eternal life. We were never created to die. Therefore, we, the spirit, the real who we are inside, will live forever. The question is, what abode are you going to be living in forever? It's not the idea that, you know, when I die, it's over. I don't need Jesus. I don't need God, because that's the end of it. Folks, that's really a step into eternity. We are eternal beings, lost or saved. We're eternal beings. And God says, I want you to pay attention to my word. I'm going to give you the warnings from generation to generation. I will let you know what is coming from generation to generation. And he said, I've given you the book. I've given you the guideline for your life. So take the guideline I've given you. Read it and apply that guideline to your life and to your living on earth. And I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. The only time that we feel distant from God is when we put the distance there between us and God. God does not back off from us. We back off from Him. The mission is clear. God said, I created you to love you. I created you to fellowship with you. I want you to be my son, my daughter. I created you out of love. I will save you through my love. And I will call you my people. That's not our problem. Our problem is us not recognizing God as the God of us as His people. There is one God and one God only. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. God loved us so much that He sent His own Son, or He came down to earth in human form to feel our pain and take our pain, to look at the sin within this real world and to conquer it on our behalf. A father watching over his children. And God said, I'm going to keep directing you. And in the process of directing us, God allowed us to understand what can make us fall. And He calls it the woe. I've been on this, for this is my third Sunday. But I'm on it because you and I need to pay attention to when God says, whoa. Because when God uses the term we know as woe, that is a term of condemnation by God of that particular act. God is saying, whoa, you don't want to do this. For when you do this, then you're bringing condemnation on your own life, on your own family. We looked at God's word and knowing that the first part was blocking the key of knowledge of truth. The religious leaders refusing to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. If those who are called by God to lead his family do not tell the truth, then they are not fit to lead his family. You belong to Christ like I belong to Christ. We are all a member of the same family. I'm a Christian. I'm proud of Christ in me. Doesn't mean that I'm proud of everything that I've done in my life. I'm proud of everything that Jesus has done in my life. That's a family. Do you belong to a family where there are never any squabbles? I mean, when you were growing up as girls or boys, I know that you would never get into scraps with your brothers or sisters. Oh, no, it was just loving all the time. It was so great. And I know you're lying because that's not real people. The reality of our life is found in who God is through Jesus Christ. And he tells us, I am really with you. And so the question that I would need to ask, am I really with you, Lord? I know that you're really with me. I know that. But am I really with you? And he said, well, pay attention to what I will direct you to look at in your life. Make sure that you do not block the key of knowledge, which is the truth of God. Don't block it. Stop from doing that. Don't make up rules and regulations just to make someone feel good. Tell the truth so they'll truly be good and truly know the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. The next one we looked at was individuals being legalistic, unjust. And God says all of these are opposite of what I want you to be. When I say whoa, that means you take that legalistic part and remember that on that, in the opposite, I must have grace and mercy. I'm saved by grace through faith, just like you are. What right do I have not to offer that same grace and mercy to others? Do you offend someone? As forgiveness. If someone offends you, good gracious Christian, take it, won't you? Did we ever read the story of what Jesus had to take for us? The blood he shed, the hurt and the pain? You see, when he was going through that, I love this. When he was going through that, I know my name was on his mind. I know. The name of every, listen to me, human being that ever existed was on his mind. But he gave me the freedom of choice. That's more than most anybody will ever want to give you. God gives me the freedom of choice. Now, Larry Pete, you can accept my son as Lord and Savior and spend eternity with me in heaven. Or you can reject my son and you'll be hell bound. But it's your choice. I love you so much to give you your freedom, your choice. I could not serve a God who does not give me the freedom not to serve him. God does that. The true and living God says, I love you. When I said yes to him, my friend, I'm heaven bound. But what he's paying attention to is what I'm doing before I get there. Am I going to complete the mission he's given me? Will I stand strong for his truth, or will I falter? Folks, you and I need to pay attention to the opposite of the woes of God. Legalistic, unjust, that means if being unjust brings condemnation from God, we are to be just. And the big key is the unloving part. Woe to those who are unloving. Therefore, I know that the only thing in my life, the only thing that's going to count as you and I are ushered into the presence of God are those things that we did out of pure love. Not doing it because it was a rule or a regulation. We do it because we love. And he said, I loved you that much. And yet he looks at us and he says, I know now that the heart of man is evil continually. Not only does he not do right, he cannot do right. If we could have, Jesus would not have had to come. If we could have done it ourselves, Jesus would not have had to die. So he gives Moses a law, regulations to show us we can't do it. And all of life from the beginning has been marching to the day of the coming of the Lord, what we call the second coming. We have the full story, you and I do. Well, even the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, gives us more insight to even after Jesus comes the second time. And the Lord says, I love you. And Jesus says, you want to make it through the fire? Then you have love in your heart. The caring, truthful concern that I have for you, you give to your fellow man. This morning, let's start with the number three, prideful. The woe from God about our pride. Oh, Lord, I love you so much, but I hope you don't expect me to get on my knees in my suit and mess it up, Lord. God is looking at the real us on the inside, the real heart. He sees the evil. He sees the truth about whether or not evil is more powerful within you than his love. And he's paying absolutely no attention to what you're wearing. But don't you worry, everybody else is, and they'll be the ones to condemn you. The Lord's looking for you and who you are. He's looking at the truth in you. And he says to us, pride is very dangerous. Again, this is Luke chapter 11, verses 42 through 52. Here is verse 43, unprideful. Woe to the Pharisees. These are the religious leaders. Folks, there's more condemnation from God on those who are supposed to be the leaders than there are on the flocks that they're supposed to be leading. It's a warning. Woe to the Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and the greetings in the marketplace. It's pride. You and I, when we look at our life, we have no right to be prideful of what we have done. If you're going to look at your life, and when we do, you look at the forgiveness that Almighty God has blessed us with in our life. You be proud of that. You be proud of who Jesus is. You be proud within your heart, within your life, that Jesus Christ says, I will love you. I will never forsake you. I will always be there for you. But the question now is, are we there for one another? Are we there for Jesus? Or is it our own pride that is puffed up, and we want to be the bride at every wedding and a corpse at every funeral? We want everybody's eyes on me, 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 me. That was quite an analogy, wasn't it? Think of it. God says, I want you to love me, because one day it will be the power of my love for you that will be given when you cross through those gates. You'll know true love. I look forward to that, because you see, growing up is each one of us in this human condition. Love so often is just a word. It's just a word. No power. It's just a word. And God says, I'm going to give you voice. I'm going to give you a song in your heart, and I'm going to show you how through love my name is praised, said God. I want you to love like I love you. I want you to forgive like I've forgiven you. I want you to feel the pain of someone else instead of worried about your own. One of the greater blessings that I've ever received in the ministry of Jesus Christ is when he allowed me to have cancer. I am so proud of that. I am so proud to feel such hurt, to feel the pain. Instead of just telling someone, oh, you'll be okay, or, yeah, I feel for you. You haven't had it, you don't feel it. But folks, that's a blessing. It's a blessing. Every heartache, every broken part of my body is a blessing from God, so that I will grow in my expression of his love for others. And he says that's so important. Your pride isn't. Pride comes before a fall. Pride comes before a fall. And I've never seen the prideful of self ever not fall. The next one was being deceitful. Deceitful. That's tricking people. Deceiving people. Oh, my goodness, I see it so much with the elderly, where kids deceive their own parents for gain, to steal. And then the parents are so hurt, they're so embarrassed, they don't want to tell anybody. And then they leave them. That's deceit. And God pays attention to it. Verse 44, woe to you because you are like unmarked graves which men walk over without knowing it. It's the idea that in that unmarked grave, there are dead bones. And the people who are deceitful are like that unmarked grave. You're right on top of it, but you don't realize the evil that's there. It's a bunch of dry, dead bones. Just like that individual personality of who they are. They want to trick someone, deceive someone for personal gain. And God says, don't do that. How do I know? He said, woe to those who are doing it. That is direct condemnation from God. And you will never, ever find a blessing in any of that. Do you really think those people have a dime of what they stole today? It's gone, folks. And there's a lot of other people that you could give them $1 million tomorrow. But if there's not a change within the heart, they'll be paupers by the end of the year. Why? It's all about me, 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 prideful. And if any way I can get it, I will deceive to do so. The next one is being unmerciful. Listen, you and I always want to be merciful to others as a Christian. Sadly, though, we want them to be tortured for just a little while before we extend that mercy. Lord, just, you know, hold the flame a little further away from them where they don't know whether or not you're really going to burn them. And I'll sit here and watch, and I'll be so proud to see that they get their comeuppance. That's Kentucky too, I think. Think of it. Why would I want to be unmerciful when all I want from each one of you as the family of God is to show me mercy? Why would I not show you mercy? I don't know what got you into that mess, but I do know the one who will get you out of it. I do know the one, and pastors ought to be ready and willing to do this. If you will not get down in the ditch of life with those that are hurting through the blood, the guts, and the beer, then you're not fit to be in a pulpit either. Mercy. Reach down when someone has fallen. Offer. If they reject, you are not charged with that rejection. But be ready and willing. Verse 46, Jesus replied, and you experts in the law, woe to you. You think it's a smart on scripture? Woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourself will not lift one finger to help them. Oh, here are the rules that God says you got to go by. Now, excuse me, because I got to go fill my big belly. I'm going to go enjoy the riches of life. I'm going to take advantage of others. I'm going. And when I go, I will talk directly to you. Now, listen, folks. Don't think for a minute that God has any fear of you. Don't think for a minute that you're sitting there, and I've heard it many times before, looking up to heaven and cursing God like that's really going to get God upset. But Christians, when we do not show the mercy that God has shown to us, when we refuse to give that to others, shame on us, because we accepted full mercy and full grace. Yet when we want to pay back, we pay back with legalism. Well, can that person go to heaven if they've done this? Now, do you call that a Christian who acts like that? Folks, Christians, according to the scripture, are human beings, and the Apostle Paul jumped on the churches all the time, and the majority of the time he would say, you people are living more by the way of sin than the pagans outside the door are. There's no difference. And God charges us with responsibility. That responsibility is not for me to judge whether a person's going to heaven or hell. But now let's get this one straight. I am commanded, as you are, to judge between what is right and what is wrong. Everybody wants to say judge, not that you be not judged and you don't have any idea what you're talking about. Judge not that you be not judged, because by which judgment you bring, I'm going to use that on you. Now think of that one. But it has nothing to do with judging whether a person is going to heaven or hell. I do not know the heart of a man, a woman. I do not understand the makeup of the human being. I can't. Every one of us are different. None of us are alike. None of us have the same calling. And yet we all have the same Christ. We all have the same God who loves us. And God says, be merciful as I've been merciful to you. But woe to you who are not. Six is the fraudulent. Oh, that goes along with deceitful and all of it. Verse 47, woe to you because you build tombs for the prophets. He's talking to the religious leaders, folks. This is Jesus speaking. Now, when Jesus speaks, you pay attention. It's not just somebody, some friend speaking to you. It's Jesus. It's your Savior. He's the one that took all of our guilt. He's the one that looked into our heart and he saw the wrong within us and he loved us anyway. It is he who is paying attention to your life, not to bring judgment on you, but to lift you up and explain to the world that it is through the love of Jesus Christ that we have hope, not through the power of men. No army is great enough to be able to conquer the power of one child that has the love of Christ. Think about it. In faith, that one child can look at that army and God can wipe it out in a heartbeat. People say, you just wait till the Lord comes and he sees you and then he's going to get you. People, the Lord walks with us daily. He is a part of us. He's not looking to trip us up. He's looking to help us grow, to become stronger. And each mistake, each illness, Agent Orange, cancer, oh gosh, and all the other stuff to come, I get excited to get to be a part of feeling the pain of life. And knowing that even that can't take me away unless God says so. And he says, woe to those who are fraudulent, those who refuse. They build the tombs of the prophets, but they are the very ones, their spirit, their forefathers, who killed the prophets. It always reminds me of one of the missions that we have, Southern Baptist, and you give to that mission, and I look back and I look at the history, and she was a woman, and nobody cared anything about her. As a matter of fact, she starved to death. So what do? We pick it up after that. We picked up, oh, let's make money or let's get money for missions. Over someone that we allowed to go out there and starve to death teaching the gospel. Is that not like those who build the tombs of the prophets, yet the attitude is the very attitude that killed them? I want you to listen to the final charge, the judgment of God on all who are committing the great charges of woe. Luke 11:50-51. Therefore, this generation, what generation? The generation who do these things, every generation since the beginning of time, this is the heart of those who go against Christ, who go against God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. This is the spirit that drives men to do evil in the eyes of God. Therefore, this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets that has been shed since the beginning of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah. Zechariah was a priest, not the book of Zechariah. Who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, this is Jesus speaking, this generation will be held responsible for it all. Now, listen to me, Christian. When I said yes to Jesus, he said, I am forgiving you for all. I'm forgiven. For all. So why am I worried about what someone else may say or anything. I've been forgiven for all, so why would I not then spend a little time that I have remaining into proclaiming the truth of the Christ who loves me? Why would we not be ready and willing to proudly stand and proclaim, yes, I am a Christian. And the only thing I'm proud of is the Christ who lives in me. On my own, I can do nothing. But in Christ, all things are possible with God. All things. Let's think about our journey. But let's think more about on what's in front of us than what's behind us. I can't change yesterday. I can't change the last few seconds. The only thing that I can do is to accept my future, the future of a child of God. And any praise will be of who He is, not of who I am or you are. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for the peace that only You can give us. We ask now, dear Lord God, that as You touch our life, You will bless us with that power, with the peace, with the love, with the mercy, with the grace. Thank You, Father, for having all of it for us. We ask Your blessing now upon each one in Jesus' name. Amen.